بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're broadcasting live today all the way from right here in Atlantis. We're in Atlantis, Georgia. Now, the real name of this place is called
Marietta.
But I called it Atlantis because I found myself standing in water. He said, we're trying to get rid of that. Alhamdulillah. But also, I know it sounds comical, but you know what? Probably someday when you're older, you'll remember this and you'll say, I remember those good old days when Sheikh Yusuf came here and made fun of our masjid. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to read something from the Quran for us, and then I'd like for us to think about what does it mean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ يَوْمٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. How many of you know the Arabic language? Anybody? Okay. Then you probably know the meaning of what I said. Do you know the meaning? No, you don't. But you know Arabic. Now, how is that you know Arabic? Maybe my Texas version of Arabic is so bad you couldn't figure it out. Huh? When I'm going to ask you a question, ask you, everybody here, a question. We've got a lot of youth with us today. I'm going to ask a question. And if somebody knows the answer, raise your hand. Ayn Allah. Where is Allah? Ayn Allah. Where is Allah? If you know, raise your hand. Where is He?
Everywhere.
How many agree with Him? Raise your hand. Allah is everywhere. Raise your hand. Raise it real high because I'm way back here. Okay, how many do not agree with Him on this subject? Raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5. Out of 50 people, we have 5, 10%. And out of them, I don't know why you disagree with Him. I don't know why you disagree, but I'm going to ask, how many say He's not everywhere? In fact, He's a specific place that He already told us about in the Quran, and I already read it to you. Raise your hand. Oops, now we got somebody crossing over. Okay, you guys can't vote twice. Okay, you're not in Florida. Alright, now we got that out of the way. Where is Allah? I want to know. Allah said He's not everywhere in the Quran. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There isn't anything like Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلُهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Nothing compares to Allah. Of all the creation of Allah, there isn't any of it like Him, and He definitely is not in His creation. And He didn't make the creation up out of Himself. This is something Allah created. And He gives life, and He takes life, but He is Al-Hayy, which is always alive. So He is not in His creation, ever. In fact, this is a mistake. The big mistake the Christians have made by saying that God is Jesus. What makes it so horrible? Just because He said He has a son, but no, because they're putting Allah in creation. The Hindus actually are the ones who believe that God is everywhere. They have this concept, and this is their belief. Everything is a God to them. They can pray to anything. And everything is God. God is everything. See how it works? It's called pantheism. It's not what we believe as a Muslim, and the incorrect belief about Allah could cause you to wind up in a very bad place after the Day of Judgment, because it means you don't believe in Allah. So the essential thing to begin with is, what do we believe about Allah, and what's the proof? Well, as Muslims, we always go to the Quran. Why? Well, the Quran doesn't have anything like it. There's nothing like the Quran, and it never has any contradiction. And no human can change the meaning of it. So we can rely on the Quran for our information. Human beings, on the other hand, make a lot of mistakes. In fact, there are teachers of Islam today teaching that Allah is everywhere. That's true. But it doesn't make them right. People can say something, but it doesn't make it right, especially if it's against what Allah said in the Quran. Is that true? Right. Another thing I want to ask about, can Allah do anything? If you believe Allah can do anything, raise your hand. He can do anything. In fact, I'm going to ask it another way. If you believe there isn't anything that Allah can't do, raise your hand. There is nothing that Allah cannot do. Now, all of you who just raised your hands, I'm going to ask you a question. Can Allah die? Yes or no? Are you sure? You just got through telling me there isn't anything he can't do, and I'm asking you, can he die? Can he die?
No.
All right, so which one of your statements is incorrect? Can Allah oppress people? Does he do dhulm to people? Does he make oppression? Can he if he wants to? What? How could he be fair and just and do that? And he is Adl. That is one of his names. Can he be unmerciful? And he's the merciful. Can he be unforgiving? But he's the forgiving. So why I'm asking you to think about it is because he has 99 characteristics that we're supposed to know about, right? But how could we claim to know that and then negate those very things? We say that Allah is fair, he's just. What do you mean, just sometimes? All the time. Allah is always the fair and the just. So he never does oppression. Ever. Let's go to the next one. I'm going to ask you a question that is 3,000 years old. I found it in a book, a translation into English from the ancient Greek, probably by way of Arabic 1,000 years ago. But anyway, they said that the people of the philosophers 3,000 years ago used to pick on the people who believed in God. Of course, their gods were not like our gods. Those were Greek and Roman mythology with gods that were demigods, semi-gods, and everything else. They would come down to the earth and get a wife and then take off with her somewhere and steal somebody else's wife. And those are the kind of gods of the Roman mythology. But anyway, they would ask somebody in those days, do you believe in God? The answer is yes. Can God do anything? The answer is yes. Then they would say, can he make a rock so big nothing can move it? They would say yes. The next question they give you is going to have a problem in it. Nothing can move it? Nothing can move that rock? Even God can't move it? Uh-oh. You got a problem. How will you answer that question? What would be the answer to this question? He can move it. Absolutely. Okay, but now they'll come back and say, but I thought you said he could make a rock so big nothing could move it. It's called circular logic. You'll get fried on that one. You can never solve that one. That's an unsolvable one. Because what you're doing, you're making absolutes. You made an absolute opposite of another absolute. You're basically, without realizing, I'll tell you what it is. It's basically saying, can Allah make another power equal to his power? See what it says? If it's a rock that can't be moved, that's establishing a power. Right? Now, can Allah make another power that's just like him? And then they get in a fight, and which one will win? Oh my God. And that's where they come up with the Roman gods. They had gods killing each other and everything. That's right? How many of you know that there's something wrong with a question? Something wrong with a question. Let me share with you what it is. The first part of the question, do you believe in God? Absolutely, is true. Can he do anything? No problem. Can he make a rock so big nothing can move it? Absolutely. Even he can't move it? The question there is where it goes wrong. Why? Because the word move is in there. Whenever Allah wants to do anything, does he have to get down in the creation and fix stuff? My God, can you imagine this? This doesn't even make any sense. He has to come in the creation and fix stuff? Oh my God. Whenever Allah wants anything done, what does he do? Be and it is. Kun fayakun. Exactly. So the question has a mistake in it because it assumes Allah is like the creation, that He moves things physically like we do. But when He wants something done, He just orders it to be done. But He would never create a situation that would make Him no longer be the only God, would He? True? Yeah. Another point is that Allah is so unique and He never makes anything like Him, and there isn't anything like unto Allah. Is that true? Well, this is a very important statement. When we say there's nothing like Allah, this carries a very, very big, big statement with it. And that is that whatever you can see, whatever you can hear, whatever you can smell or taste or feel, this is not Allah. All of these things are not Allah. Because Allah is not, we're not able to detect Allah through our sensory perceptions. Got it? Everybody with me? So, then how will we know Allah? That's another question. We know Allah as a creator. He calls Himself the creator. By the way, the translation, the ayah I read to you, is a very important ayah. It said He is the one who created خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the heavens and the earth, فِي سِتَ يَوْمٍ, in 6 days, ثُمَ أَسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, then He rose above His arsh, His throne. It doesn't say He sat on it, it doesn't say He laid on it, because that would be doing what? Comparing Allah to the creation. You just say what Allah said about Himself and leave it. Now if Allah says something about Himself, you don't have any reason to doubt it. Allah is not going to lie, and He's not going to give you something that you can't deal with. But if He says He has a face, for instance, He has a face. Does He have hair growing out of His face? Well, no, because He didn't say that. So leave it at that. Allah has a face. Allah has two hands. We know that. It's a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, He has two hands. So, do they look like my hands? Are they going to have knuckles? Has He got hair on His fingers? Has He got fingernails? I don't know. And by the way, I really don't care. That's not something that you want to get into an argument or a discussion about, because Allah didn't tell you, so no need to go into it. But for sure you don't compare us to Allah. Let me share with you something from the Quran when we talk about Allah. I want you to think about how magnificent and amazing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't compare Him to us, but I'm going to tell you His throne, His arsh, is so huge that you can't compare it either. Watch this. He said in the Quran, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What does that mean? How many of you know the meaning of that? You know Arabic, right? Don't look away, man. Huh? وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It said His kursi extends all over the universe. What is a kursi? Chair? Footstool? How many think it's like footstool? How many think it's the throne? Throne? Well, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, is that the throne? And he said, no. So, it's not. They asked, is that the throne of Allah? They said, no. They said, that's His kursi. That's His footstool or chair, and it sits in front of the throne. Now listen. How big is it? The Prophet ﷺ said that the kursi, which we just said, extends over the whole universe. He said, but in comparing this kursi to His arsh, it's so small, it's like you would take a ring and throw it in the desert. And the sub-narrator says that the comparison of the kursi to the universe, the universe is so small, it's like you took a ring and threw it in the desert. Now think about us. We think we're pretty big guys, right? Okay. You're tall. You're a big guy. Well, right? Yeah, compared to a human, but compare yourself to a tree. You're a dwarf. Compare the tree to a mountain. It's nothing. Compare the mountain to the moon. Forget about it. The moon compared to the sun. The sun is huge. But our sun happens to be one of the smallest ones. Did you know that? Yeah. Oh, it's tiny. compared to other suns. Not compared to us. The whole galaxy that we're in is small. Compared to what? The Milky Way. The Milky Way, we found out now, is just a part of the universe. The whole entire universe, Allah said in the Quran, is being what? Overshadowed by His kursi. And the comparison in the hadith said it's like the universe is a ring in the desert. If you drop a ring in the desert, will you ever find it again?
No.
Get one of these helicopters. Fly over the Sahara Desert. Drop a ring out. Fly into Cairo. Get a couple of camels. Go back out in the desert and try to figure out where you dropped the ring. Will you ever see it again?
No.
And probably we're never going to see you again either, man. Come on! And he compared the kursi to the universe, not the earth, the universe. Like the kursi is so big, it's like a desert, and the universe is like a ring in it. But then, the kursi compared to what? The arsh, and the arsh is so big, it's like a desert. And the kursi is a tiny ring. And by the way, how many of you saw the movie Men in Black? How does it end? Do you remember how it ends?
Yeah.
Remember when they're playing marbles with the universes? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how they started out? It showed at somebody's house and it pulled out, and then it showed the city, and then it was the United States and the globe and then the universe, and then suddenly it was a marble in a kid's hand playing with the thing. Right? And they dropped it in a bag of marbles, which was a bunch of universes. We don't buy that story exactly, but look how the difference. They picked up on that. They caught this semblance of how tiny we really are. And by the way, if you'll remember part of the story, actually the main part of the whole story is protecting this universe, which was on Orion's belt. Right? Huh? That was Men in Black. Right? Get your story straight, baby. Alhamdulillah. What are you doing watching this kind of junk anyway? It's interesting that everybody here seems to know about that movie. How many of you know where this verse is in the Quran? Raise your hand. The verse that I've been talking about is... No, don't say where it is. Just raise your hand if you know where it is. And how many of you saw Men in Black? Amazing what kind of condition we're in today, isn't it? And you know about Men in Black. How many of you saw Men in Black 2? Yeah. How many of you saw the second version of the Quran? What? There isn't one. There's only one. It only comes in Arabic, and it's the only one. Alhamdulillah. If somebody comes out with the revised version of that, they're out of here. Nobody's going to accept that. Alhamdulillah. But Allah tells us in the Quran, وَاسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَيَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He never grows tired of taking care of it, nurturing it, supporting His creation. And He is above it all and majestic, Adim. And remember that this throne that Allah is over this throne, and He's saying here that He's mighty and over all of that. SubhanAllah. We can't compare Allah to the creation. It's not possible. Allah is always going to be what? Bigger. That's why we say Allah, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than what He's created. So this is what we've been talking about with our youth today, is what we believe about Allah. We asked the question about things that Allah doesn't do. We said that Allah doesn't die, right? Well, could Allah, we'll go back and ask again, could Allah make another God like Him? No, because then He wouldn't be the only God, would He? He wouldn't do that. In fact, let me tell you what the scholars said about this. They said Allah never does anything that will make Him no longer be Allah. So He's not going to die. And he's not going to eat. Because if he ate, then he wouldn't be a law, would he? Huh? He's not going to drink. He's not going to sleep. Because none of those things would be a law. He cannot be totally aware of everything, cognizant of everything, and at the same time go to sleep, right? Wala sinatun wala naum. And he doesn't take rest and he doesn't sleep. So this is important to know about Allah. Probably you've had some questions in your mind about Allah, but you didn't know who to ask. And sometimes when you ask questions and people tell you, oh, you just have to believe, just have faith. That's it. Well, when they do that, whoever does that, they're not helping you. The right answer is to go to the Imam and ask the Imam. If the Imam doesn't know, you need a new Imam. Because this is essential to know about Allah. After all, if I'm going to pray behind somebody, I want to know who he's praying to. And if he doesn't know who's Allah, what's that? Does it make sense? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make it a secret. And any Imam who memorized the Quran knows the verses are very clear. And Allah tells us he doesn't compare to the creation. But he tells us that we can recognize Allah by looking at his creation. Because he identifies things about the creation that we don't know, except that we know it from Allah. Some of the miracles of the Quran are the science miracles. The statements made by Allah 1400 years ago that they only now are confirming. Because they're just now having the technology to be able to prove what Allah said is true. For instance, the creation of the human being inside of the womb of the mother being the alaq, and how the alaq forms and changes and becomes in stages into the mudka, the nutfa, and so on. All of these are stages of the development of the fetus inside of the mother. And nobody knew about this 1400 years ago. Some of the top scientists in the world have been amazed when they see what the Quran says on subjects like embryology and also on meteorology. What's meteorology? Study of meteors? No, I think it's called weather. The meteorologist on TV who gives you the weather every night, right? Yeah. What about etymology? How about that? How many of you know what's etymology? In fact, I'm an etymologist myself. What is etymology? The study of words. I like to know where words come from, what they mean. So let's end our program now with this subject of what does the word Allah mean? I've spoken on it a number of times, why Muslims say Allah, but I want to make sure that our youth understand this, and then if you have some questions afterward, then we'll talk about that. The word Allah, does it mean God? Can I say God and it means Allah, the same thing, no difference? How about Farsi? Anybody know Farsi language? Anybody know Farsi? Or Urdu? How about Urdu? The same. What's the word in Urdu for God? Khuda. Khuda. Khuda Hafiz. What does that mean? God preserve you, right? But the word we're looking for is the one in Farsi. Farsi and the Urdu gets it from there. Right? Yeah. This word means what? Does it mean Allah? I don't think so. The word God doesn't mean Allah, that's for sure. Let's look at it and find out why. The word God, whenever you use the word God, can you put an S on it? And it becomes what? God's. How can you make a distinction between this word God and God? Meaning the little g, you know, G-O-D, a God, something to worship. Anything you worship is a God. Whatever you worship, that's your God. If you pray to something, if you ask something, that's your God. If you have a lucky rabbit's foot and you ask that rabbit's foot, you're making a God out of the rabbit's foot. Have you heard people talk about a lucky rabbit's foot? Any of you ever seen one? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? It wasn't very lucky for the rabbit, was it? So whenever you have anything that you worship, or you ask something from it, or you give credit to it for anything, that becomes your God. The English language has this, like I said, little G-O-D, and it's anything. But when they want to talk about the God of the Bible, they always use the big G, don't they? Big G-O-D. But in Arabic, is there a word like this? Let's look. The word for something to worship in Arabic is Ilah. Ilah. And if you want to spell it with English letters, E-L-A-H, Ilah. There's a little ha at the end of it, you don't really hear it, Ilah. Got it? So if I want to put a big G on the God, to say the God, well, I can put the in front of it and say the God, there. Now, is that Allah now? If I said the God, is that Allah? No, it's not. Because in Arabic you can say Al-Ilah. And Al-Ilah means the God. Exactly the translation of the God is Al-Ilah. But you can still make plural out of both of them. You can still add a S to gods and you can say Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah is the gods. But if you say Allah, what does it mean? Does anybody know? Well, it perfects the word Ilah so that it can't be changed anymore. When you say Allah, it builds this into it as being the one and only God. It becomes so unique that there has no gender with it. Whereas in English, you can say goddess. In Arabic, you can turn Ilah into a goddess. But in this word, Allah, it's not male or female. It's not male or female. And what else? It can never be made plural. Can't be made plural, and it's not male or female. You're going to have two problems. Right after I said that, you go look in the Quran, you're going to say, oh, Shaykh, it said, Huwa Allazi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard. The very ayah you just read, it says He. It said He. Every time you see that, Huwa, who means Allahu, Allah He is. Qul hu Allahu ahad. He, Allah is ahad, right? It has He. It doesn't say He. It says who. It's not she. My meaning, if you know the Arabic, hiya means she. Right? It never says hiya anywhere in the Quran. It always says who. Talking about Allah. So how come it said he, if there's no gender? How many of you know the answer to that one? It's out of respect. But Allah doesn't call himself it. But it doesn't mean gender. We say he, just as you might talk, if you have a tree out here and you said you were trying to give respect to the tree as personalizing because it's alive and it's a nice thing, and you said he, this tree, he, but it's really not, you know, who cares? But you're giving respect to Allah by saying he gives respect to himself by saying he, but it doesn't mean gender. So there's one problem out of the way. What about the other one? You said it can't be made plural, but Allah uses the word in the Quran, khalaqna. And khalaqna means we created. Khalaqna means we created. And He also says nahnu in Quran, which means we. If it's not plural, how come it says we? How many of you seen in the Quran where it says we? And it's talking about Allah. Did you think that that meant Allah and His angels are doing this? Or Allah and His messenger? But sometimes I read that that's what some people thought. It's not right. Allah is talking only about Himself. Why did He say we? How many of you know why? Again, it's respect, just like in the first case. Because there's a royal or royal we, which is not plural, in Arabic and it's also in English. Whenever the king or the queen decree anything, they say, we decree the following decree. But there's nobody there but the king. You say, who's we? It makes you think that he's got a lot of people with him, but he's just himself. He's saying we, but it's meaning respect. And I'll give you an example in English that'll help you, inshallah. We have it and we use it every day, but we don't think about it. Whenever I'm talking to you directly and you're talking to me directly, we do not use the same rule that we do for other things. And the state of to be is, right? The chair is, the door is, the house is, I am, which is a plural form. I'm not saying I is. Do you ever say I is? Huh? Only in certain parts of New York do you hear this. But wait a minute. Now when I address the plural, these are, those are, the people are. I say are, don't I? But when I speak to you as an individual, what do I say? You are. So in both cases, I don't use is because of the respect. When I speak to a single person by himself and I say to you, you are my friend. But there's only you, and you say, and you are my friend too. And I say, I am happy to meet you, you are my friend. See that? I use the plural in both cases. So this is the plural that Allah is using in the Quran. Allah is still singular, one, and without any partners. You may wonder, why are we mentioning this subject in conjunction with what we believe about Allah? Well, actually, because I'm seeing so much on the internet these days where people are trying to make Muslims confused about Allah. And if you're confused about Allah, then everything in Islam will become confused too. So it's important for us to establish what we believe about Allah and what we don't believe. There are three aspects that we believe about Allah that are very, very important. The first is that Allah is the only creator and sustainer of whatever exists. And whatever He creates and He takes care of is His and His alone. This makes Him the owner of it. He is the owner or the landlord or the sovereign, known as what? Rabb. He's the Rabb. So this is called the monotheistic opinion of lordship. That's how you say it in English. Or in Arabic, this is the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Rububiyyah from the word Rabb. Then we also believe that Allah, He is so uniquely one, there's none else like Him in all, as to be worshipped. None is worthy of any worship, any ilah, only for Allah. So it's Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, from the same root. None is to be worshipped but Allah. Nothing. If you can see something, you can't worship it. If you can taste it, smell it, feel it, hear it, can't worship it, because this breaks the rule of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Okay, that's two. And third one, Tawheed al-Isma wa Sifat, His characteristics. His characteristics are not to be compared to the creation. Allah is a sabur. He's totally patient. But everything for Him is an epitome of that. So He's totally and completely patient. Not like us. I can be patient for about 5 minutes. Some people can be patient for 30 minutes. But who could be patient for 10,000 years? Well, we don't even live that long. So Allah is a sabur. And He's al-Rahman, al-Rahim. He's al-Qudus. He's the sacred. And He is the one who is only worthy to be praised, al-Hamid. And He is all of these words. If you know any of them, think about them. He's the perfection of each one of those. But they don't compare to human at all. So those are the three aspects of the Tawheed in Islam, the monotheism or the oneness of Allah. And if you want to get started really knowing Allah, that's where you start. Think about Allah. But you said, well, I'm not supposed to imagine what He looks like. That's right. Well, then how can I think about Him? I'm not supposed to imagine what does He sound like, but what can I do? Well, listen to the Quran. When somebody recites Quran, listen to it. And that's a very good start, because as you're listening, this is the speech of Allah. This is really Allah's speech to human beings, and it came by one of His angels, Jibril, alayhi salam, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was passed down from Muhammad, peace be upon him, to generation after generation after generation until today. Today, over 9 million people memorize the Quran, living today on the earth. Over 9 million. Not a single person memorized the Bible, by the way. Not one. They don't know which language they're going to memorize it in. But we're not here to make fun of them. We're here to establish what we have and be proud and happy of this, that Allah made us as Muslim and He gave us this. Another thing, if you want to see something with your eyes that helps you think about Allah, look right out there. Do you see those trees out there? Somebody tell me real quick how many are out there. All of them. All of them. Too many. Huh? So many. Look how many trees. And how tall are they? Oh my God, they're very tall, aren't they? But as you're looking at those trees right there, I will assure you that there are millions and millions more trees around just in the state of this Georgia. Millions. Even with the people cutting them as fast as they cut them, they're still coming back up. And if you think that's something, imagine all the trees all over the United States. Or in the Americas, from Alaska to South America. Then imagine all the trees in all of the world. I can't imagine that. There's so many shapes to them, and so many styles, and so many leaves. And think about the leaves on all of the trees. Look at the leaves out here on the ground. You see the leaves? And realize that there are no two trees that are just alike. And there's no two leaves that are just alike. How many times could you draw a leaf on a piece of paper before you'd wind up drawing pretty much the same thing? You would, because there's just so many styles we can come up with. But Allah has created something amazing just in the leaf of a tree that since Adam until now, no two leaves have been the same. No two fingerprints are the same of any people, is that true? Even if they dig somebody up out of the ground 100 years ago, if he's got a fingerprint left on his hand, it's not going to match anybody today, is it? Who could do that? Only Allah. Those designs, those swirls, those squigglies in your fingerprints, look at them. Who designed that? And these are yours. Those 10 that you're looking at right there, if you got 10 fingers on you, but look at them and realize Allah gave you that. That's His gift to you. He signed you like an artist signs a painting. And your hand, no two hands are exactly alike. Look at your hand. Look at your hands. I want you to look, because I'm going to show you something. There's no two hands in this room alike, and no two hands since Adam alike, except for one thing. They still have something similar. Take your right hand and look at just your right hand. Put your thumb up in the air and look at your right hand. You see the one? The Arabic one, you see it? Right here. Goes up and down, right below your knuckles there. You see that one? Look at my hand. You see a one right there, don't you? And then you see that inverted V, upside down V? Look at your hand. Everybody has it. And now look at your other hand. It's the same thing over there, only because it's your left hand, the V comes first, and then the one. You see that? Everybody with me? What would happen if I was to put my left hand underneath my right hand and do the math on that? Because in Arabic, one Z, upside down V, that's an 8, isn't it? Is it? And the other one would be 81. What if I take 81 and add it to 18? How much is that? 99 what? Names of Allah. You've been signed and didn't know it. Now, take the left hand and put it on the top. The 81 is on the top. The 18 is on the bottom. Do the math. Subtract 18 from 81. What's the answer? 63. How old was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he completed, when the revelation ended and the Quran finished for us? 63. Whoa. You've been signed by your Creator and didn't realize it. And He said in the Quran, you can look to the furthest horizons or in yourself and you'll see proof. All the proof you need. He even asked disbelievers to do the same thing. Allah said, I'll show them the signs on the furthest horizons and in themselves. But they still deny Allah. But it's only a fool who denies what's very clearly in front of you. If something's clear in front of you, don't deny it anymore. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Hu Allah Dijal and the Muslimin. Been listening to Islam Tomorrow. This is the almost live broadcast from right here in Sub-Atlantis, also known as Marietta, Georgia. We're here with all the Muslims. I'm going to give them a chance to voice themselves so you can hear them. Salaam Alaikum. I think you can do better than that. I have a microphone, you don't. Salaam Alaikum. Rahmatullahi barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I think the girls are louder than the boys though, guys. Yeah, but maybe they get more sleep than some of you did last night, huh? I don't know. But alhamdulillah, we ask you to check out our website, islamtomorrow.com, islamtomorrow.com, and also our other website, islamalways.com, and our other website, islamyesterday.com. All of our websites are open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. Thank you for laughing.